It's time to talk, a couple of different topics. Ben, with our next guest, he writes for KSLSports.com. You may have heard him from radio hits.
I've never heard him on the radio before in my life.
I don't know what you're talking about. As well as KSL News Radio.
I think this is Kyle's first time ever on the radio.
He covers all sorts of stuff. The NFL going to be heavily involved, of course, in our NHL coverage going forward. He is immensely talented. He's got a great beard. He is Kyle Ireland with us here on Jake and Ben. What's up, Kyle?
Hey, guys. I don't know. I hope you heard my morning show this morning. I don't know. Like, it's honestly disappointing that this is the first time you guys have heard me.
Are you on a different station? What is going on? I swear I've called you five times to jump on. I've never been able to either fit into your busy schedule or what it is. But you are busy. You also do 90% of the writing at KSLSports.com.
And don't say you guys. This is all Ben. I listen to the Saturday show all the time.
That's true. I know Jake's a faithful listener on the hits on Saturday. He also listens to news radio all the time.
I'm dialed
in,
bro. I'm dialed in.
I don't know what you're doing, Ben.
Well, Kyle, it's good to have you. We'll talk to you next time. All right. Hey, let's start with hockey. You were there last night. You've been doing a lot of our hockey coverage. Can you give me a breakdown or just kind of a sense of the difference of what you saw? Because you traveled to Arizona for their final game at the Mullet, and then you were up here for the welcome yesterday. What was the difference between kind of those two times that you've seen this team?
So the first thing that popped in my head last night when I was kind of leaving the arena was just the fact that for these players, like, I don't know how it's not popping into their minds, like, we aren't in Arizona anymore. Like, we're not in Kansas anymore. Like, that kind of feeling. This is not the Mullet. Like, the Delta Center showed up last night. And when we showed up last week to Arizona for their game last Wednesday, Sam Farnsworth and myself, it honestly felt, you know, a couple hours before we walked in, before the game puck drop, it was really like a funeral. It was the somber, just like weird, eerie environment. Last night was the complete opposite of that. There was so much emotion and passion, and even the coach. I mean, talking to him after the game last week, you could tell that there was some, you know, somberness from him about leaving Arizona and what that had meant to him over the last couple of seasons that he's been there. I mean, this is his first head coaching gig in the NHL. And so, you know, to be able to have that, but then leave it so quickly, I'm sure that that has had an impact on not only him, but all of these players. I mean, you mentioned Josh Doan earlier in the show, like his dad is a Coyotes legend. So to be able to, you know, grow up in Arizona, play at ASU, get drafted by your hometown team, like, to be able to have all that stuff uprooted, like, I get why those guys were emotional last week, and it was a completely different environment last night. There were, you know, a lot of smiles. As the players entered the arena to all of the cheers, you could see the players walking down the aisle. I don't know if you noticed this, Ben, but there were players that you could see they were trying to hide the smiles through their faces because it was really something that they haven't had in Arizona for a long time. Since they left Glendale, and even in Glendale, like, you know, for the last 25 years, like, they haven't had a good setup down there. So to be able to see what Utah put out last night for these guys, the show of support, and then, you know, the season ticket deposits being up to nearly 30,000, like, Utah's already proving that they're going to support this team, and I think the players felt that.
You know, I keep hearing as I, you know, we all, I suppose, to a certain extent, dive in on this club and the NHL overall. What's your thoughts on the on-ice product that we're going to get to consume in the fall? The word I keep hearing over and over again is potential.
Yeah, the cool thing about them is they have a guy like Clayton Keller, who's just, you know, a stud. He's an awesome player. I mean, Lawson Crouse, like, they have good pieces, and then they also have, you know, some young talented guys that have a lot of potential. But what Bill Armstrong, the general manager, has done over the last couple of seasons, and, you know, he's coming with a Stanley Cup, you know, championship background with the St. Louis Blues coming in, and he's really built up his kind of resume through the draft. He's known for being a really good talent evaluator, and so he's stockpiled a ton of picks. I mean, go look at how many picks Utah has in this upcoming draft this summer. I mean, it's almost reminiscent of kind of what Jazz fans are looking at with their team. But they also have some really nice pieces, some veterans there. And really, they were on the cusp of, you know, making a playoff run this year until they hit a 14-game losing streak in the middle of the season. And that was really around the time that the news started leaking out that the team was going to relocate from Arizona. And you can imagine what kind of impact that would have on the team and those players. And so I think that having the stability, and that's something, that word has been mentioned multiple times by the coaches, the players, how they're excited to be here, but it's also a stable environment now, and they haven't had that. Playing in an arena like the Delta Center as opposed to a 4,500-seat arena, something where you know that you're going to have the backing of a fan base. You know that Ryan Smith isn't going to be Alex Morello, where Alex Morello was pinching pennies. He was making moves, trading good players that it just seemed like he was in it for the money. And Ryan Smith's out there to try and win. He wants to compete. It's the same thing that he's doing with the Jazz, where, you know, maybe it's the hard way, but Ryan Smith wants to bring an NBA championship to Utah. He's mentioned bringing a Stanley Cup to Utah multiple times, and I really believe that that's the ultimate goal for not only him, but these players as well.
Kyle, one thing that we do in Utah historically is we really, because we're a bit of a small pond, we turn our fish into very big fish, whether it was Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert or Jimmer Fredette or, you know, even guys like Britton Covey. We kind of make our local players super celebrities, at least in the state of Utah, and we want everyone to know about them. Do you think that's going to translate to hockey? Because my understanding is that's kind of not the natural culture, and it's certainly not the culture they had in Arizona.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you look at guys like Connor Ingram or, you know, Dylan Gunther, some of these players that have really just like that star potential and talent. I mean, Arizona has had one of the best goalkeeping situations for a while now. And he was talking last week, of the morning after the game, about how, you know, he being at the top of his position in the game is also the kind of guy who's like, yeah, I booked an Airbnb to stay in Salt Lake City on my way back up to Canada for the offseason. Like, I don't know NBA players that are saying, like, hey, I'm going to hang out in Utah for a little bit before I go back home, traveling through the state. It's just it's a completely different vibe with the NHL. I don't think it has the same pop culture phenomena that the NBA does. And so even though the fan bases, I think, will cross over a little bit, I think that we're going to see a completely different product with the NHL. I don't think that there's going to be as much, you know, Draymond Green, there's no nightlife talk about Utah in the NHL. These players are coming from, you know, Russia and other parts of Europe and Canada. And so Utah's, you know, pretty mild climate. It's pretty normal to what they're used to. And, you know, Utah's obviously evolving and growing and becoming a, you know, close to a top 25 market in the country. And so all the things are kind of lining up where it was the right time, the right situation for Utah to get a team. But I think that at the same time, like, the fans are going to embrace these players, but it's also going to be a situation in the NHL where, you know, a guy like Dylan Gunther, if he becomes a star like Clayton Keller has, like, the fans are going to back that, but the rest of the NHL is going to recognize it as well. And I don't think that we'll see as many situations where you have the Donovan Mitchells wanting to get out.
Switching gears, you do a lot of NFL coverage for KSLSports.com, Kyle. And I want to talk about the draft tonight. Is it inevitable that Caleb Williams goes number one?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the fact that Chicago is his only top 30 visit, they've really done everything for the last year and a half to kind of solidify him being their pick. Everybody knew that Caleb was going to be, you know, quarterback one or two, you know, 2 years ago when he was, you know, first arriving at USC. He's just so talented. And I think that the comparisons to Patrick Mahomes are, you know, they're kind of on par with what we've seen with other guys in recent years. I mean, we heard that kind of stuff about Zach Wilson even, but Caleb Williams has shown it at USC. He's been able to handle that limelight. And I think that Chicago, because of some of the moves they've made in recent years, bringing a guy like Caleb Williams in really kind of helps them take that next step forward. And so I would say Caleb's a 99% lock to go number one overall. I would be stunned if he wasn't taken by the Bears.
So does the draft start at number two, like we like to say, or is that pretty locked in as well?
Yeah, it sounds like Jaden Daniels out of LSU, obviously former Arizona State quarterback. A lot of people in the state have seen as well during his time in the Pac-12. Is kind of the favorite to go with the Commanders. But it's one of those things, Ben, where you hear a lot of buzz leading up to the draft, and it's kind of that like 2 week period of time where you don't know whether or not you should believe what you're actually hearing. You know,
it's lying
season. Talk about the draft. Yeah, we talked about the draft for so long after the season ends that we kind of get bored with the conversation, that we have to come up with things to kind of create some talking points and conversation. And so I think that Jaden Daniels probably goes number two overall. But, you know, if Washington is trying to be sneaky about their pick, want to take Drake May, throw off the scent, I wouldn't be surprised by that as well. I just, it's one of those things where after Caleb, I think for thing for any of these guys, I think Caleb is really the only quarterback in this draft where you can say that guy's going to be a starter for at least 5 to 7 years.
Who's going to be the first local guy off the board, you think?
Yeah, I think that there's two guys that are up for this. I would go with either Kingsley Suamataia, offensive tackle out of BYU. He's kind of coming off of a decent performance coming out of BYU this last season. I think Cougar fans would probably agree with me that they wish that they would have seen a little bit more. Obviously, didn't play in the season finale as well. But I think that just his raw talent is going to be super hard for teams to pass up. So I would say that if he's not a late first-round pick, which I'm leaning that he's not going to be, I think that he's going to be a day-two pick. It's going to be Jackson Powers Johnson, the offensive lineman out of Corner Canyon, who played at Oregon. Also, Kingsley played at Oregon as well. A bunch of these Utah guys seem to like going up to the Ducks. So I think Jackson Powers Johnson might go ahead of Kingsley. And I think that right now I'd probably lean towards him going ahead of Suamataia. But again, don't know if either of those guys are going to be a first-round pick. So I would expect most of the action to come starting tomorrow for the locals.
How many locals are we going to get drafted? How many are going to come from BYU? How many are going to come from Utah? And what about Utah State, maybe even Weber State?
Yeah, so there's a handful of guys. Most of them are going to come out of the University of Utah. You've got guys like Keaton Bills, Joan Ellis, Cole Bishop, Sione Vaki, to mention, you know, just a couple of them. You know, the BYU situation is interesting because after Kingsley Suamataia, you've got, you know, Ryan Rico, who's a punter. So it's like, you know, do teams want to take a punter in the draft? It doesn't happen very often, but he's been really good at the college level. And then Keaton Slovis, BYU's quarterback last year, he's ranked number 10 on Mel Kiper's big board, which just blows my mind because we didn't see that production the last couple of years when he was at Pitt or BYU. And his talent's certainly there, but I would say the only reason why I would suspect Slovis gets selected in the draft is if he goes day three on Saturday, it's a late round pick, and it kind of follows the model of last year's draft where, you know, really starting in the fifth round last year, around the time that Jaren Hall actually got selected, that fifth, sixth, and seventh round had a lot of action with quarterbacks. And I think that it's kind of a Brock Purdy effect where the 49ers kind of struck gold with him being the last pick in the draft. And so you kind of want to take a flyer on a quarterback as opposed to just throwing it out there on another position, because if you happen to find a guy that works, you know, it means more at the quarterback position than anywhere else. But those are the BYU guys. I would say Kingsley's probably the only lock there to get drafted. And then out of Utah State, I'm not expecting anybody to get drafted, but I think we'll get some free agent deals on Saturday evening. And then aside from Jackson Powers Johnson, the other guy representing the locals is former BYU tight end, but out of Lehigh High School, it's Dallin Holker. He was at Colorado State this last year and had a breakout season for the Rams. And I would expect him to either go late tomorrow or early on Saturday.
What'd you think about Zach Wilson landing in Denver?
I put out a couple of weeks ago, Jake, it was probably about a month ago now after free agency kind of settled down after a week or two, I put out a list of, you know, 5, 6, 7 teams that I thought would still be potential trade candidates to get Zach. And the Broncos were my number one candidate. I think that there's so much positive momentum with them, with Sean Payton. You know, they got rid of Russell Wilson. They can kind of clean the slate there and move forward. And Sean Payton, he's just been a quarterback whisperer, you know, an offensive guru for so long now. It's hard for me to not think that if he sees something in Zach Wilson that, you know, he's obviously taking a flyer on him with a late round trade pick swap. But at the same time, the Broncos, they have Jared Stidham on their roster. He played late last year, and Sean Payton himself was like, I didn't learn anything new about the guy. And then Ben DiNucci was their backup quarterback on like the third or fourth string practice squad cast situation last year. So they have the 12th pick in the draft this year. I wouldn't be surprised if they took a guy like Bo Nix. But at the same time, Bo Nix isn't like a finished product either. And Zach Wilson has 3 years of experience. He started 30 games now. He started almost double the games that DiNucci and Stidham have started combined in the league. And so Zach's super talented. Everybody's talked about it. I mean, on our sister station in Denver earlier this week, you know, Peyton Manning, he talked about how Zach is super talented. Like, if Peyton Manning's still saying it after all of the garbage that happened in New York, like, there's still something there. Sean Payton clearly has seen that. I don't know if Zach is going to be able to fix himself because of the damage that's been done over the last 3 years, because coming out of BYU, he was probably drafted too high. He went to the wrong state. He went to the wrong market. New York has, you know, eaten quarterbacks up for decades now. And so going to a place like Denver where he's closer to home, it's with an offensive coach as opposed to a defensive head coach. Like, there's a lot of positives for Zach. I'm not saying that he's going to end up, you know, turning his career around, but he's got a much better chance to succeed moving forward now than he did in New York.
Last thing before we let you go, Kyle, who do you think that Maddie likes more, you or Ben?
I'm going to go with Ben on this. She can talk to Ben about the Jazz all the time. She can talk to Ben about hockey all the time. I'm so busy, you know, talking on the morning show. I'm so busy talking about all these other things. I don't give anybody the time of day. And so Ben actually, like, is there to have a conversation with. I need to get better about that.
Oh, man, Kyle, you rock, dude. Thank you very much for coming on.
Man.
We appreciate it.
For a first time on the radio, that was pretty good.
That was pretty good.
Home pretty run. Good for your first
Home
time
run,
on the
pal.
Radio.
Thanks, Kyle.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Kyle Ireland writes for KSLSports.com. And Maddie, by the way, is your boss over there at KSLSports.com, and Kyle's as well. So we joke. I'm sure she dislikes you both equally.
Yeah. Kyle's a good dude.